there. Pastor Ben here, continuing our study through the Minor Prophets. Last time we read through the account of Obadiah. It's just one chapter, 21 verses, the shortest of the Minor Prophets, and an interesting book because it is written to not God's people directly. It's speaking directly against the Edomites and their pride, the way that they treated the Israelites, who historically are a lineage of brothers. The Edomites are the children of Esau, whereas the Israelites, the children of Jacob, and Esau and Jacob were brothers. So we saw that God was warning Edom against their thinking that their military tactical advantage would save them, warning them against just the way that they treated the southern kingdom of Judah. But also the book was written to encourage the people who had seen their kingdom totally destroyed. The northern kingdom had already been taken over by the Assyrians, and then very likely this letter is written soon after the Babylonian takeover of the southern kingdom of Judah. So we see that God is speaking to all people, not just to his people, not just to the people of Israel in this book, but it helps us then to remember that God is in control of all things. The situation that the southern kingdom of Judah found themselves in was not a surprise to God. And part of what we see in the letter of Obadiah, the words of Obadiah, are that God is exacting his justice the way that he is going to, and that even the invasion and the takeover of Judah is not something that's outside of God's hands. So as we consider all of that, today we'll be looking at 1 Timothy 2, the first six verses there, and considering when we are in situations where it feels like, well, God's not in control, right? There's government oppression, or there's things happening that feel like are not good and not part of God's plan. But both Obadiah and this passage in 1 Timothy reveal to us that God is involved in everything, in every situation, in every whatever is going on. There is no thing that is outside of the touch of God. And so, as Paul writes to Timothy, he tells him this. 1 Timothy 2, verse 1. First of all, then, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for all people. So Paul lists a variety of different types of ways in which we communicate with God, whether that be supplication, meaning asking for God to provide something or intervene in a situation, for just general prayers, our normal conversation with God, for intercessions, praying on behalf of another person, and thanksgivings, right? Giving God thanks for whatever might be going on, recognizing that, again, God is in control. And it says that those things must be made for all people. Now, it's maybe somewhat of a preacher joke that all means all. But really importantly here, Paul then goes on to describe some parts of that all people that are going to be important for us as well. Verse 2 says, for kings and all who are in high positions. So, remembering that God is not just letting the world be whatever. He's not just letting the powers of the earth, the people in positions, whether it's presidents or embassies or whatever kind of governmental structure, whatever political structure is in place. Those are not outside of God's purview, and God desires that we should pray for our leaders and pray for just the different levels of leadership in our country and in around the world. And Paul points out why. In the rest of that verse, he says that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. It is no surprise when we start to talk just politics how heated people become. And I don't think that's a new thing to our society or to our day and age, because it sounds like here what Paul is saying is when we stop realizing God's really the one who's in power and in control, when we can take that moment to step aside and pray for our leaders, and not in the sense of pray that they get out of power, but that God will exact his will through that person, if they are not saved, they would be saved, right? That mentality helps us then to be able to be peaceful and quiet, godly and dignified, so that we aren't getting caught up in this is my favorite candidate, or this type of government is the best government. The things that God puts into place, even though the structures might look like they are human structures, God is still involved in it. And we also see that God is pleased by this in verse 3. This is good, and it is pleasing in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all people to be saved, to come to the knowledge of the truth. So again, there is no person that is too far gone from God, even the worst politic you could think of. But also we see an interesting sequence here. Verse 4 says, who desires all people be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. So I think it's important that we remember as we share the gospel, it's not about trying to convince and get every single detail of the Bible known. I mean, I certainly don't know every single detail of the Bible. But we see that salvation comes, and then we after that, come to a knowledge of the truth, right? This is an ongoing process. This is our sanctification as we learn what it means to become more like Christ, as we learn to listen to the leading of the Spirit, and we learn to live out God's will on this earth while it still is here. And then Paul gives a reason for why we should pray for these people. Verse 5, for there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all, which is the testimony given at the proper time. Again, he is pointing to the sovereignty of God in all things. And not just the sovereignty, but also the oneness of God is above all. And Jesus, in that, is for us the mediator that allows us then to give supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings. So it's not because of our position, it's not because of a leader's position that they have more access to God. The only access to God comes through the one mediator, Christ Jesus. And then this is sort of Paul's mission statement just in verse 7. He says, for this I was appointed a preacher and an apostle. I am telling the truth, I am not lying, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and truth. All right, so just reminding Timothy and anyone else, us today, reading this letter, that the salvation plan for God was not just for the Israelites, but it's open to the whole world. Again, back at verse 4, God desires all people to be saved. So when we are facing difficulties, when we are struggling with our family members or our coworkers, our bosses, where we're trying to navigate, okay, how do I go through life with this person? How do I share the gospel with them? How do I live in such a way that is above reproach, live in a way that's peaceful and quiet, godly and dignified? It starts with, first of all, that we pray for those people. We pray for the salvation of all, but not just of all in a general sense. We pray specifically for the people in our lives. We can think of it as almost sort of a bullseye, where if we're in the middle and we think about our circles, right? There are certain circles that are closer to us that are people we know better, but then there's also bigger circles far away from us. And those people, the kings, all those who are in high positions, as the verses say, right? I don't know the president personally, but I know who our president is, and I can pray for him by name. I can come and bring him before God and ask for salvation and ask for just the wisdom that is needed to lead a country, and ask that God would continue to exact his will and provide the opportunities that are needed. And that prayer, again, brings us peace rather than conflict. And just as a last thought, the timing of God is also perfect, as pointed out in verse 6. It says, Christ Jesus gave himself as a ransom for all, which is the testimony given at the proper time. So again, there's no surprises in God's playbook. There's no thing that's happening. There's no person in charge. There's nothing that isn't how God would want in this moment, which is hard when we look at, again, thinking back to Obadiah, to see the destruction of Israelites, to see how the Edomites treated those people. But yet God uses those bad places, those difficult circumstances, to teach and judge and bring about whatever it is, repentance or the recognition of, oh, I am prideful and I need to humble myself. Right? God allows things that are not good, but he uses them ultimately for his glory, for our good, that we would know God more and that we would seek him in those rough circumstances. And so don't allow yourself to think God is not involved, or that God is hands off. While he may not be exactly using his hand to crush someone the way that we think we might, or that he's just saying, it's fine, those people are going to do whatever they want, right? The Israelites hearing the Edomites and knowing that they helped capture the southern kingdom of Judah, we see that God is still involved in talking to the Edomites, pointing out their sin and saying, this is not right, and the way that you have acted is not right. And just reminding his people that his hands are on all things, and he ultimately is the one who's in control.